In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, trying to consider the Holy Trinity as a theological concept on this great feast of the Most Blessed Trinity is a waste of time. St. Augustine wrote one of his most voluminous books, De Trinitate, on the Blessed Trinity, and all he could say at the end of it was, it's a mystery. Without having the mind of God, there is no way that we can understand how he can be both one and three at the same time. How the Father can be God, how the Son can be God, and how the Holy Ghost can be God, and how together they are one God. However, just when you thought I would let you off the hook, not a chance. However, it is possible. It is possible for us to know of God's existence and in some way who God is, even without the benefit of divine revelation. That is to say that we can know of God's existence through our natural reason, even if he had never told us anything about himself. The inquisitive person can reason that God exists by examining his handiwork in the universe. The fact that there is movement and causality and order in the universe demands something other than that universe. It demands a prime mover, a first cause, a designer, a governor, whom we know by the name of God. We know that mankind is capable of this knowledge because we've seen it happen in history. Look at men like Plato and Aristotle. Even though they were raised as pagans and in a pagan culture, they came to this natural knowledge of God. They did so even without the revelation that we find in the Old Testament. But while man can know that there is a God, the existence of God in Trinity, that's a different story. It remains still, but it is a mystery. We know that God exists as Father and Son and Holy Ghost only because this has been revealed to us. No amount of deep thinking by the Greek philosophers or otherwise could have ever figured this out through unaided human reason. Now, even God's revelation in the Old Testament was inadequate to the task, although we hear a few clues, a few hints, really, which in retrospect suggest the Trinitarian existence of God. For example, in Genesis, we read that the Spirit of God moved over the waters, even before the creation of light. The prophet Isaiah predicted that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, whose name would indicate that God is with his people. A little later on, the same Isaiah predicted a descendant of King David, upon whom would rest the Spirit of the Lord, having powers which sound identical, which really are identical, to the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But these were no more than hints, foreshadowings, and no one could be expected to know the existence of the Most Blessed Trinity from them. In the Old Testament, we know of God only in his oneness, But as we know, God was anxious. He was anxious for his children, for his creation to know him. And in the fullness of time, he sent his only begotten Son so that we might know him and we might believe him. And believing, we might not perish, but have everlasting life. And part of that knowing and believing is knowing and believing that he exists in Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The revelation of God's Son was, as we know, pretty much direct. The Son of God was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, predicted, as we said, by the prophet Isaiah. And he was born in Bethlehem, as was predicted by another prophet, a prophet called Nicaeus. When he reached maturity, he led a public life, preaching and curing the sick, even raising the dead. And ultimately, he was crucified. But we know 3 days later, he rose again. We can read about this second person of the Most Blessed Trinity in the Gospels and in the other books of the New Testament. Now, the revelation of the third person of the Most Blessed Trinity, the Holy Ghost, was a little less direct. We know that toward his end of his time on earth, Jesus told his followers that he would be returning to his Father, but that he would send someone in his place, an advocate, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost. And just last Sunday on the Feast of Pentecost, we saw how that third divine person came upon the apostles and Mother of God some 50 days later after the Son's resurrection. And we know as well that we receive that same Holy Ghost in the sacrament of confirmation and that he dwells in us when we're in a state of grace. And we see in today's gospel that it was the command of the Son of God himself that this revelation of God and the revelation of his commandments be brought to all nations with the hope that they will be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now this obligation is a serious one. Some people don't believe it is. Even many priests and bishops believe, well, that's not really something Jesus would have said. Well, it was. Either you believe it or you don't. The obligation is a serious one because we read elsewhere our Lord's words, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe shall be condemned. Again, either he said it or he didn't. You believe it or you don't. And even the collect of today's Mass speaks to the fact that God has given his people the true faith to adore the glory of the eternal Trinity and to adore the unity of the power of his majesty. It's an important concept often forgotten in the modern world, the concept that there is a true faith and that the Catholic Church is the custodian of that true faith and has the fullness of the truth. So actually, there should be no surprise in this, except that our thinking is often blurred by modernism and the modernism of the age. Our true faith is not something that we've decided for ourselves. It's not something that was organized by a committee. Not the latest consensus of what people think at the moment. It's not even limited to the wisest speculations of the brightest philosophers or theologians. It's been revealed to us by God himself, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. has been revealed to us by the truth himself and confirmed by the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost. And with their help, the true faith has come down to us from the Father of lights, in whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. Thus, the unique and unchanging nature of the true faith. So this feast day of the Holy Trinity then has two important characteristics that we should remember. And we should take them to heart and even act upon them. The first is the characteristic of intimacy with God. The second is a missionary imperative. We can speak of intimacy with God because this revelation of the Most Blessed Trinity, of the Trinitarian God, which we could never know through natural reason, is very much like being invited into God's household and getting to know the family of that household as a friend and invited guest. Even more than that, more correctly, as an adopted son or daughter, member, an actual member of that family. And of course, that's a privileged relationship that we'll want to protect and to even cultivate by keeping God's commandments, by getting to know him better in prayer and in the sacraments. And secondly, there is also a missionary dimension to this true faith. God has directed us to bring it to all nations, to all the peoples of the earth. For some Catholics, that will mean actual excursions across the seas to foreign lands, where they'll preach in foreign languages to people of different cultures, much like the Institute. For others, the mission field will be right here where we live. There will always be a need for the true faith to be preached right here. Priests, religious, catechists, even in our own homes and workplace. My friends, the vast majority of us will not be called to do any preaching or missionary work in the formal sense. But that doesn't mean any one of us is without obligation. All of us are always obligated to spread the true faith through our good example. Things like the cheerful, or striving to be cheerful, and keeping the commandments, personal honesty, integrity, an enthusiasm even for holy things, things of heaven. An important part of that good example has to come from the recognition that we have the true faith. Our faith is not just the work of certain wise and prudent men. No, it's the revelation of God himself, about himself. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who believe the words of the truth himself, he has promised that he would be with us all days, even unto the consummation of the world. What a grace that is for us. What a consolation. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.